Super Gamecast 64, episode 80. Today on the show, guys, we're talking about all these newses.
You're moving at a nice fast clip there, bud.
Episode 80. We're going to be talking about Resident Evil, a bunch of indies, some of these new betas y'all been playing.
So excited.
Lots of stuff.
Some betas.
Without further ad dudes.
DJ. Oh yeah, no more ads, dude.
DJ. Yeah, as Tyler said before the thing, we are not brought to you by Audible right now.
We're totally self-sustainable now.
Yeah,
this episode brought to you by
my many audiobook companies.
Goodness gracious!
Well, most of those have gone under, so that's a thing.
I wonder if this is your fault. I think this is Kevin's fault.
Why? Why would that?
Because you introduced all sorts of competitors to Audible.
It's not my fault that I have a better business model than a very well-made Amazon company.
Don't you say that about the Nile?
The Nile?
Isn't that in Amazon? The river?
No, it's just another big river.
The Nile ain't just a river in Africa.
Oh, boy.
The Amazon.
Guys.
Hey, Matt, have you ever taken a geography class?
Yeah, it's for the shapes.
Right.
That's how you make a square, isosceles.
Cube.
Isosceles square.
You get the side angle side theorems.
Before we talk about games, because this is a comedy show that's also a video game show, and if you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt, with me as always.
I'm a great man.
Okay.
I think that was Kevin.
It's Kevin.
Who is that over there?
I'm Tyler.
Okay. Well, now that we have intros out of the way, because we didn't, we got it. Which is crazy, because we've been gone for a while, and usually when we're on
I forgot who I was, that's why I said that.
Well, it's okay. You're Kevin.
Right.
Right.
Are you having an existential crisis?
I am. I'm a nihilist now.
aren't we
In
all?
Africa.
Speaking of nihilism.
I'm a denialist.
Speaking of denialism, y'all looking forward to the Nintendo Switch?
No.
We have one. We have one on pre-order for the streaming group.
Basically, if you don't have one pre-ordered right now, you're going to have to wait until second wave.
Well, even people who were pre-ordering, I think we brought it up on the show, but people who did pre-order with like Prime were getting their shit canceled.
What?
Here's an antidote. Something.
An antidote for that poisonous life you're leading now without SGC.
One of our friends was like, hey, guys, there's still consoles available for pre-order on Amazon, so we pre-ordered one. And then she hit us up and was like, they canceled my pre-order. You should check yours. And we canceled ours. Ours is fine. She pre-ordered before us and has Prime. We did not have Prime and pre-ordered like 20 minutes after her. So Amazon really on top with making sure people's reservations are all good to go. Double check your Switch pre-order.
We should call it Amazon's. Because
Amazon's.
People in I guess that's a Midwestern thing to do.
Call it Amazon's.
For those of you who don't know, we're located in the heartland.
You mean like Aldi's?
Yes, like Aldi's and Kroger's. Like apparently that's
possessive.
Yeah, so like Amazon's.
Kmart's.
Because it's just way funnier to say Amazon's.
Walmart's.
Josh, your dart is still on the wall.
McDonald's. We do have an in live studio audience.
We do have a live
Josh
studio
Josh and
audience.
Jesse back there.
Hi.
So without further ado, I've said it twice now. We have gotten some sort of approximate on how much this Switch Online service is going to cost.
It's $16 to $23.
I'm very happy.
Yearly.
I'm very, very happy with this price point.
Look, sure, I'm not buying it.
I think the thing is that when Xbox Live came out, you know, they're making it $60, whatever. That's what they came out with. And then this is right at the beginning, you know. And then PlayStation came out, their online service is free. And now everything has kind of become, it's $60. So when Nintendo in 2017 is like, we're going to have an online service, we give you a free game, blah, blah, blah. Everyone starts to make these comparisons to PS4 and Xbox, but completely forget that Nintendo is not any of those companies.
Right.
So what it looks like they're doing here is just giving you base, it's probably not going to be really a service as much as it's like, hey, we connect you to matchmaking and then you get this cute little SNES game, maybe a friends list. But beyond that, I can't really see it being as much as a platform that I would say that like the PSN store is and the Xbox Live store is.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because before PSN, you really couldn't match what the Xbox provided in terms of online play.
Yeah.
Because the cost kind of acts as a barrier to entry to a lot of people that would otherwise just, like, so for example,
it's the old adage, you get what you pay for,
right? And so PlayStation Online, it seemed like their fan base, the people who were playing online, just weren't as dedicated as Xbox players were. Like, and well, that's not to say Xbox versus PS4 players. That's not the argument I'm trying to make here.
And I would argue against you, because that's the reason I bought a PS3.
Well, that's the reason a lot of people did. But again, I always felt like the quality of my matches, both technically and socially, were better on Xbox.
That's come to be proven when they had that. Well, I think we talked about that 3 or 4 episodes ago when there was that. It was the third party who did all the tests across all the different consoles and found out that Xbox is better online in every facet, except for, I think, not match retention. Maybe it was latency that PS4 beat out, but I mean, that's what
it's because there's no one on it.
It's what
I'm
happens.
Kidding, I'm kidding.
What happens is you don't pay for an online service, you get your entire credit card hacked. That's what happens.
They're like, we're not going to make you pay, we're just going to take your money.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, is Nintendo, is PSN back up yet?
Did it go down?
It went down twice in 24 hours.
We're recording this on the 10th. I'm not sure when this one's going to come out, but it's not to date the show. You guys know.
Who cares? Yeah, I mean, we're late at this point.
It's fine. If you care, shout us out on the Twitter. Maybe. Yeah. All right. Cool. Thanks. But so it went down twice in 24 hours?
Yes.
I was having a kerfuffle with my Xbox internet.
Well, you were having a kerfuffle with your Xbox.
Yeah, it was really the Xbox. It wasn't really Xbox Live. But speaking of other internet sources or internet services, but everyone's cool with the $16 to $23.
I think it's good. I mean, it's good because they're offering the NES thing like per month. Remember, a
retro game. Yes.
Yeah. Well, remember a couple weeks ago when we were talking about it, I said it would be nice if, since they're making online paid, if they offer the game to you, we agreed at like a discounted price. Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think I would be okay with only playing it for that month at this price point.
Let's take a look back real quick. How many of those gold games have we really played after the fact?
Hand of Fate.
Yeah, I mean, Hand of Fate was good.
But we talked about
this on GOTY. Like, not all of them are good.
They're pulling from games that they've released in almost every single one of their systems in some sort of virtual area. At this point, millions upon billions of people, maybe not billions, but millions upon millions upon millions of people have played Mario. Like Mario 3. You can assume that almost everyone on this goddamn earth has played it if they want to play it.
May I be so bold as to suggest
they're not losing money.
That if you had a dartboard with every Nintendo game on it and a dartboard with every Xbox game on it and you threw a handful of darts at both of them, the dartboard for Nintendo would have better games hit by darts than the dartboard with Xbox.
Well, it depends on how deep they're going to go into that NES library, because there's 600 or so, no, there's way more than 600 NES games, but a lot of them are trash.
Some stinkers.
Yeah, regardless. Okay, so we'll have to see when it launches. It's coming out March 3rd, but it doesn't launch the paid service. That's coming a little bit thereafter. People who are early adopters get some free online, probably just to test.
Yeah.
That way, when everything goes to shit, then they can be like, you're not paying for it.
Did you guys hear about what Blizzard's rolling out right now?
Ooh, is it that gold thing?
Yeah, so
This is out of my wheelhouse. They
introduced a thing about a year, year and a half ago now, where you could use in-game gold and use, based on market prices, like actual market prices on servers, you could use in-game gold in World of Warcraft to buy these tokens that would equate to a month of game time.
Yeah.
So it allowed people to extend their game time without actually having to pay real-world money.
Yeah, you use your in-game currency. Instead of buying that sick mount, you buy yourself a little bit more time in the world.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like the first one's free, re-up, you know. Anyway, so now they're allowing you to use those tokens, that currency, to purchase other items in Blizzard games.
Wait, like across the board? Or yeah, can you get more time for...
So like in Overwatch and in, you know, Heroes of the Storm, things like that, they're allowing you to use that currency in other Blizzard games.
How much of this currency... Okay, give me an idea. Have either of you done this before, using in-game currency to get time?
I have not.
No, but I mean, Josh has.
Josh is pretty far back there. So, Josh, can you just relay to me real quick about how much in-game currency is it? Is it a staggering amount or is it a small amount?
It's a decent amount for a while.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
Is it like 10K?
No, it's 20.
30,000.
30,000.
30,000 on an average server.
Yeah,
and for populated servers are looking at anywhere from 40,000 to 50,000.
And that's with the understanding, the context that World of Warcraft, each server exists in its own microeconomy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're, it's just like if you were to go to New York right now with your Ohio paycheck.
Yeah,
it would go a quarter of the way. But if you came to Ohio with your New York paycheck, you know, it would be Fliff Night.
So you can use. So basically, what's happening now is that you can just use this gold.
Yeah. So it's basically just encouraging crossplay.
Well, which
we all have multiple Blizzard games.
They've been doing that for a while. Ever since Overwatch kind of really dropped, and Diablo too, they were like, hey, "Get all this shit." Heroes of the Storm was
Heroes of the Storm. I mean, what was the last thing? The 30 games. You play 30 games in Heroes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they give you 5 champions for Heroes. And they give you Genji skin and Diablo stuff and a WoW pet.
Yep.
So it was
like,
great.
It's like, here, you have to buy all these games now if you don't own them.
Well, and the funny thing is, I don't know a whole lot of people outside of Overwatch, which I think is a kind of a new beast.
That's a different thing in its own.
Right. Outside of that, people who own a Blizzard game are very likely to own all, or at least most of the
pretty
Blizzard
true. Games.
They know their demo.
Oh, for sure. And I think Blizzard's back. I think they're...
Were they ever gone?
They never
took a nap. I think they took a nap.
Yeah.
They took a nap 5 years ago. They're awake. Yeah. They've been awake for years.
They were sleeping on some of those WoW expansions, and then when they dropped Diablo 3, they were like, and then they really made good on that with the Diablo. I think ever since that Diablo 3 expansion, Reaper of Souls, I think they're back in their...
Guy blows back.
Okay, we're already 10 minutes deep. We got to get through this news. We got a lot of games. We've been gone for a while. Steam Greenlight is now
redlit.
it's being replaced by Steam Direct. If you don't know what Steam Greenlight was, Steam being like Valve's PC downloadable platform, you buy your games from there. They're in Amazon's.
Dude, I was just thinking the other day, Steam is really old.
Yeah, Steam's been around for a minute.
Super old. Like, I remember when I was like, so I did competitive swimming when I was younger. I remember going over to my buddy's house and we would play on his PC after like swim team practice.
Battle
and
net.
He had Steam back then. And like, it just didn't occur to me until the other day, like, holy shit. Like, well, that's a really old platform.
Valve always had something. It wasn't until they really locked down all the publishers and developers and kind of everybody started. Because you had that shit with like Origin and a lot of stuff. Yeah. Steam really, really made itself the place to go on PC in the recent, I'd say, past 5 years. But yeah, I mean, it's been around for a minute.
Yeah.
That Gordon Freeman Half-Life game is pretty good.
So obviously, in the spirit of innovation, they've created an opportunity for small developers to launch their games. And that's what Greenlight was. So what is Steam Direct?
Steam Direct is, they haven't really come out 100% and said, but basically, instead of the community going like, yeah, we want this, and that pushing through your publication, there's going to be some sort of startup fee to publish via... Tyler really trying to be a dick in studio and make me giggle. The details aren't 100% like clear, but they've been polling different devs and trying to see like, hey, what's a reasonable fee for you to publish via Steam instead of going through the whole Greenlight thing? Because for everything that was good with Greenlight, it's also not a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of shit made through that really shouldn't have been. Yeah, early access this, early access that. I don't know if that's going to make any sort of difference on the whole early access thing we got going on now, but...
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but anytime I saw early access, I was like, unless this is free, I don't really want it anymore.
Yeah, that's something we'll talk about when we get into games later. Yeah,
healthy skepticism is something I don't have when it comes to those sort of things.
Well, early access, it's literally like, hey, you're buying this at the normal price before it's finished.
And you're basically a beta tester. Yeah. I mean, I guess you're an alpha tester in that case, but like,
depends
you're
on the game.
Paying to be an alpha tester, which for some people is super cool.
Yeah, speaking
of indie games.
Other people don't like to clip through worlds. Anyway.
No.
Well, that's why you don't buy them. If you don't like it, you don't buy them.
But I buy them anyway.
But if you buy them and you don't actually provide...
Don't have any.
If you don't actually provide criticism for the game, it's never going to get better. Because as somebody who's participating in an alpha... You are the one that is encountering the bugs. If you don't report those bugs, if you don't speak up in the forums and things like that, they're never going to know.
Yeah, most people just get early access because they're like, haha, I have early access.
Yes.
Tyler's just dying.
Sorry, I encountered a bug.
It's okay. Would you like to report this or post on the forums? No, fuck it, I'm done with it. It's not my job.
Never playing this again.
Delete local content.
Delete life.
Delete local content. Delete System 32. Psychonauts 2, indie darling.
Oh yeah,
I'm just gonna back out of this one.
I figured you'd invite Dan over to talk about this.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a what's up, Dan? It's kind of Dan's my brother. He's a nice kid. I like him a lot. It's Psychonauts, made by the developers Double Fine, Tim Schafer.
Double Fine.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
They've made games like...
I do it every time.
Brutal Legend. They've made
That's
games...
That's why.
Yeah. They made like...
It's the only time it happened.
They made games like Brutal Legend, Day of the Tentacle Remastered, obviously Psychonauts 1.
Costume Quest.
Costume Quest, I'll thank stop. You. They, Commander. They're great.
We like them.
They're really, really good dev. We really like them. And they were kind of the... They pushed the whole indie kickstarting thing, really, with Broken Age, mm-hmm. their first return mm-hmm. to point-click. That literally broke Kickstarter. And then what happened was they were like, shit, we want to make Psychonauts 2. And they started this new kind of funding shit. It was called Fig, I think. But regardless, what happened was publisher Deep Silver, I'm pretty sure that's who it was, came out just a few days ago and said that they are officially publishing Psychonauts 2, which not only does that mean that Double Fine isn't self-publishing, this will get proper distribution stuff, but they're also putting quite a few million dollars into the project on top of all the money they raised through crowdsourcing.
Which is just awesome. That sounds so great.
Like, what it means is that Psychonauts 2 is going to get the kind of lovin' that it so well deserves. It says they say that it's coming out in 2018. You know, whatever. It just means it's not coming out in 2017.
I remember when we were talking previously in an older episode about some of our favorite gaming memories, and I mentioned that one of the years when I had an original Xbox, I loved it so much that I like insisted that I drag it on vacation with me to
I did
New
that
Jersey.
A few times.
And the reason I did that was because of Psychonauts. Like, Psychonauts was the game I dragged to New Jersey with.
The game I dragged, I went on a family vacation with my best friend Chris. At the time, we were playing Halo 2 quite a bit. It was back in like 8th grade, 7th grade. We went up to a cabin in Michigan. So a lot of nature. And we'd just go outside and swim in this beautiful lake, and then the rest of the day was just Halo 2. So it's weird that it was a single-player game that brought you, but it was like, we gotta bring it because we gotta shoot each other with needlers.
So for those of you interested, Deep Silver also has participated in the following games.
Oh, they're a great publisher.
Metro, Dead Island, Saints Row, Homefront is one of them.
Skip
Mighty
that
Number
one.
9.
No, damn it.
Shin Megami Tensei. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean other people don't.
It's a very big publisher.
Very big.
I think they also made... Did they develop? Shit, I can't remember. Thanks, Jesse.
You're welcome.
Chronicles of Riddick. Was that Deep Silver? Or was that something else? I don't know. Regardless, Deep Silver, good for you for Psychonauts 2. We love you. With that, guys, I don't think there's any other news. I mean, there's probably other news, but at this point, that's all I really wanted to talk about. We played a lot of games.
I mean, as far as news, yeah, but we've also had 3 weeks to play all these games.
Yeah, there's been a lot of... Okay. Resident Evil 7. Let's just start off games with Resident Evil 7.
Might as well start at the top.
Let me take point on this
Yeah,
one.
Because you don't like horror games. I'm a huge proponent of it, and we had joked before one of the previous episodes that I was going to force you to play this game, and you're like, I'm so not interested. I was like, you must play it. And you actually did, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Well, no, you watched it.
I watched it. Josh is my driver, and I was a passenger, and I'm a bad passenger. Let me tell you what.
For Resident Evil, at least, I mean, it's... As long as you're seeing it, you're getting the effect.
And I got the effect.
He was seeing it through closed eyes.
That's not true.
He fell asleep.
That was the second time.
All right, Tyler always falls asleep, so I don't think that has anything to do with the game.
Tyler, wake up.
Sorry. No.
So what'd you think about Resident Evil 7? Because me and Kevin, we did it on stream with Space Brain Gaming. If you want to check that out, once again, that's twitch.tv/SpaceBrainGaming or Facebook or YouTube. We're all over the place. Twitter, Instagram. Same thing with SGC. You can find us all over the place.
So the first night that we played the night before you guys streamed.
Yes.
And
okay.
I'm sitting on the couch.
I did too. I played a little bit.
Watching Josh play. And like, it's weird. It's a little creepy.
Mm-hmm. The beginning of that game is pretty weird.
Yeah. We're both seeing... Oh, yeah. The beginning of that game...
Beginning is very much different than the whole rest
bizarre.
Of the game.
Just bizarre. I'm seeing things that I'm pointing out to Josh. He's seeing things that he's pointing out to me. We're both freaking each other out. And I'm trying to get into the couch.
Trying to get enveloped by the couch.
Because I'm just freaking out.
Yeah.
And then it stopped being so bad, and it's just like, okay, there's some jump scares, and it's like a little bit spooky.
Yeah.
But
that then, starting hour, dude.
Then Grandma is just...
It's nonstop, man. Grandma freaks you out way more than, like...
Is necessary?
Anyone, yeah, anyone I know.
Grandma just chills.
It's still, I mean, it's creepy that she's, like, all over the place, but, like, that's about, I don't know, that's about the extent of it.
No. See, I think we had a very different experience when we were playing the game Kevin versus them, because we were, you know, it was about five or six of us in the same room.
That's true.
I'm that's generally unfazed by horror games, especially first-person horror.
Right.
We played Outlast, and, I mean, if you heard that episode, it wasn't like we were squealing.
although there was a really great part in the stream where Shiro just, like, jumped out of his pants.
Oh, yeah, so
I thought you said a great fart in the stream.
Well, there might have been a few of those.
Probably.
As well.
We ate pizza.
Har har. Yeah, no, what Resident Evil 7 was for me was, I mean, it's a great time. I reviewed it for a 90skid.com. You can check out my review if you really want to. I give it a 9 out of 10. Because what this game does for me is, if you look at Resident Evil as a series, Resident Evil 0, 1, 2, 3, tank controls, very much survival horror. Resident Evil 4, action. It's very much an action thing. And they kind of ran with that for 5 and 6. You know, you have some off shots. It was very much an action franchise. And then 7, what 7 is Resident Evil 7 is a game that could have been a different game. But it's the feeling of old school Resident Evil. Like, you're searching for the bullets. You're trying to get herbs, trying to combine them.
Yeah. And the chems, they added chems.
Yeah, the chems with the psychostimulants and stuff.
Instead of just being, like, herbs.
It feels like Outlast plus classical Resident Evil, but if they removed, like, all the mentions of Resident Evil,
yeah,
it could completely be a different game. So I've, on one hand, I kind of want it to be its own thing, and then they go off and do that. But on the other hand, if this is the way they're taking the series, I'm so okay with it.
Yeah,
I'm really okay with it.
If there's another one after this that's similar, I'll play it. Well, I'll buy it.
My big thing about games like this, you see it with Amnesia, you see it with Outlast, is that you're a guy who's got a camera or something or whatever, right, but you don't have anything to defend yourself, so you're always hiding. I like the atmosphere in those games. Outlast is one of my favorite horror games of all time. No hold bar. But I'd much rather prefer games like Condemned, which were horror games that are first person, but they're still fighting and action. Sometimes there's gunplay, sometimes it's with melee weapons, because it feels like you're somewhat formidable. You're not just hiding, because in the games where you're hiding, it kind of almost at times feels like stealth, and I don't like stealth. I'm one of those guys who likes to beat the shit out of people.
Right.
So Resident Evil kind of just goes right down the middle. It's got enough creep factor, enough of that, like, oh, you're really truly helpless kind of feeling in the story. But the gameplay is a nice mix of, you know, oh, find the emblems and some puzzles and shit like that.
I want to get your take on this, because I was listening to Polygon's podcast, one
shout
of their first
Polygon
ones. Yeah, big shout out to those guys.
Yeah, I like
squares. They started doing Besties again, which is their original podcast. Really great show. Check it out. Their Game of the Year was fantastic. But they did one for Game of January, basically, Best Game of, and they were talking about Resident Evil. One of them brought up a really great point. Where do you go from here? I mean...
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that there's either one of two things that's going to happen. Either Resident Evil 8 is now what Resident Evil 7 has set, and it's now changed the bar like Resident Evil 4 did,
right,
or you just forget that it happened and you go back to like what Resident Evil 5 and 6 were.
Right, because the progression from 1 to like the really bad era of 4 and 5...
Well, 4 was great. 5 and 6, it just went downhill again.
Right, you become like... It went more... towards something like Gears of War rather than
it's like Dead Space, you know. What happened with Dead Space?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
so
yeah, you don't make the main character talk after two games of being silent.
Well, that's not exactly Resident Evil, but Dead Space started off as a very much survival horror game, and they're like, shoot more guns, and by 3 it's just an action game.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. They took something and then changed the whole shtick.
And that's Resident Evil in general, though.
I think it's just a trap that a lot of game developers fall into because of the progression treadmill. Like, it's kind of like the old you know, saying about, like, with Dragon Ball Z, for example. You know, they hit Super Saiyan, and then what's next? Super Saiyan 2, obviously. And then eventually, you have to throw in, like, there has to be growth for the character. So you know, sometimes that means them getting really overpowered. Sometimes that means them getting to be, like, god-tier status, you know?
With how much I know about Resident Evil, there is several places this can go, none of which I can talk about because you haven't beaten it. And there's people in audience that has not beaten it. But without really spoiling anything, the game is not a Resident Evil game until the last 20 minutes in which they try to explain why it's Resident Evil and how it ties into all the Resident Evil. So, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, with me, I've never been a huge fan of Resident Evil lore. Like, 1 and 2, like, cool, yeah, Raccoon City, Spencer Mansion, that shit's cool. But when it started to get, like, super deep into Umbrella and, like, who's in charge and Wesker and then all this shit, I don't care. I honestly, it's too much reading. And that's exactly what Resident Evil 7 does, is that they just take all of the Resident Evil tie exposition and they just put it in, like, a bunch of documents that you're reading in, like, the last level. And you're like, I don't... Okay. So by the end, you have a close to the story that as it was, and it feels like the last 20 minutes was kind of tacked on so they can be like, but Resident Evil. So there's plenty of places. There's plenty of places they can go with the story. It's still open.
Cool.
So there's definitely places they can go. I hope that Resident Evil 8 is in the same style and is still as good. But like I said, it's the same peak and valley that happens in Resident Evil. Resident Evil 1, awesome. 2, awesome. 3, 0, oh! Code Veronica in there was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you go 4, oh great. 5, pretty good. 6, terrible. 7's awesome. 8 I probably think, be pretty good. 9,
I,
shit.
I think a lot of people are being vocal enough about this that it's...
This is a better way to go.
It's going
to
be seen. I think the developers are going to see it and know that they're on the right path.
Even if they don't take the first-person horror action kind of thing for the titled series, I think it deserves more spin-offs. Whether or not they want to use the Resident Evil name or not, I think Capcom does this kind of game very, very well, and they'd be doing a disservice to themselves and fans if they just went back to the same formula they were doing.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get back into that after Tyler's beaten it, but... Let's get into some indie.
Sorry.
Stardew Valley. I'm just kidding.
Rolling from mainstream horror to independent horror.
I guess a different kind of valley.
The uncanniest of valleys.
Yeah.
This is Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Made by Cowardly Creations. Digirite Distribution published it. Thanks very much for sending us a copy to check out.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you.
Streamed that. We gave away a copy on stream. It was pretty good. A pretty good stream, I could say. Did you guys play it?
I did not. We kind of doled out the game since we got so many at once. I didn't get a chance to try this one.
Tyler, did you get a chance?
No, sir. Okay, I can talk about the rest of them, though.
So let me just lay it out here. Uncanny Valley is a game with a lot of good ideas that has not very good execution. Once again, I reviewed this for a90skid.com. If you want to check out that, go ahead. a90skid.com, how it's spelled. I ended up giving it a 5 out of 10. The reason why I gave that score is because it's a lot of good ideas... But the game is a narrative game. Mm-hmm. When it starts off originally, it tells you, hey, you have to play this multiple times, okay? You're going to have to play it multiple times. You know how, like, Telltale tries to pretend to be like, everything is different. No, this game is not... There's no game over. Like, if you die or something happens, that's it. Like, that's how your story ends. Hmm. So, the whole story of the game is he plays this guy named Tom. He's trying to run away from gangsters, people who want him dead, something like that. So he goes and he finds a low-laying job as a security office, or a security guard at this big office building. And then from there, it's kind of like, what's going on in the basement? What's down here? And the whole game is side-scrolling, pixel art kind of thing like that. There's not a lot of combat. There's barely any combat. There's an inventory kind of like point and click, but I maybe only one time used an item on another thing. A lot of the game comes down to reading emails to figure out the story and the backstory. It feels lived in, so that's nice. You know, you're going on these people's computers, you're reading emails before the whole place was abandoned. But the text is fucking unbearable. At certain points, because the whole thing is pixelized, right?
Right.
Therefore, the text, they felt the need to use pixelized text. So when you can't tell the difference between an M, an H... Or, like, you know, a W, because it's all blocks. After a while, like, okay, you can read it just fine. But about 6 or 7 emails down, it starts to hurt your eyes. And if that's the main source of how you're finding things out, because there's only, like, 2 characters. There's Eve, this girl who's at the apartments you stay at, and Buck, who's, like, your other security officer dude. That's really all you talk to. And then you listen to emails. And the game is short. So the first time I played it, I beat it. It was, like, about 1.5 hours. And I'm like, oh, okay, I had a different ending. I don't want to spoil anything. When I played it on the stream, completely different. The whole idea is that you use your time to learn things and figure things out, and days progress, but that's the biggest problem with this game, is it doesn't seem to be any clear indication about what choices you make or don't make that affect where you're going, where you're not going. I made some of the same decisions in both playthroughs and got different things, and that's the biggest issue, is with Telltale, you at least have some sort of knowledge of, like, okay, maybe I cannot say this thing to this person, and it'll be like, this person will remember that. You know, there's some sort of indicator in which a gameplay choice is being made.
It sounds to me like they missed a really great opportunity, though.
Yeah, all you need is a little ting or like a check or something that tells you when a gameplay action or misaction is affecting your story. Otherwise, you're kind of just going and trying to figure it out.
Not only that, sure, I agree, but I was going to say naming the main character Buck instead of like...
No, it's Tom. Buck is the fat guy.
Whatever.
Yeah.
There should have been somebody named Manny. Because then it could be Uncanny Manny. Uncanny Manny, Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, and his valley. Yeah. It doesn't... I mean, it's pretty much up at the front. If you know what Uncanny Valley means, you're probably going to know what's in the basement. It's the game plays out how you think it's going to. The one thing I will give it is that the atmosphere is very good. The story they tell is interesting, but at a certain point, every time you want to go through the game again and try and get a different ending, you have to play the first 15 minutes again. And it's a lot of text, it's a lot of walking, right. You don't have infinite sprint.
When it comes to one of those, like, those style of games, the problem with that is that they assume you want to play it again.
Well, and that's the
thing.
It has
to be, like, desirable.
First time I beat it, the ending I got was very bloody. It was actually unsettling, because for some reason the pixel art, like, blood, it was very, very disturbing. I was like, whoa, this is crazy, let's go back through again on the stream. I went through, and then I played another time as I was writing my review, and I knew I hadn't gotten the full story. You know, there was safes that were left unlocked, or safes that were left locked, there was places I could go. I knew that there was something left to be figured out. I didn't even feel like I scratched the surface on the story. But the thing is, I didn't have enough information, and I had walked around. There's only four levels that you have to do rounds on as a security officer. I had read every email. I had looked over everything. There's obviously something I was missing, but I didn't care enough to go back through a fourth time.
Right.
You know, we're talking about hour-long runs.
Yeah.
15, 20 of those minutes are just the same shit you've seen in the first place. You know, the first time you play it, oh, it's new. But, yeah, around, like, the fourth or fifth time, I don't really find the need to go through it again when half the stuff I'm replaying is the same thing, and I don't know what I'm doing different because nothing tells me if it's affecting the story. And the thing is, at a certain point, I won't spoil anything, but at a certain point, you get a lot of enemies or opponents, you could say, that are thrown at you, and the healing system's weird. Like, you get hit, and you can find healing items, but then it's like, oh, I'm going to heal my left leg or my stomach or certain things like that. I have found one healing item my entire time playing that game, and I always just end up dying. And then I'm like, okay. In the beginning of the game, they're like, hey, if you want to use a gun, press B and then press Y to shoot. I haven't found a fucking gun in the game. So if it's like a, I don't know if that's
maybe
like a
they're in the
secret
safes.
Maybe, but I spent two playthroughs trying to figure out the stupid safe combination, because it's like, you got to figure out the password, and then you got to find the safe key. Figure out the password's of the guy's fucking birthday, easy as pie. I couldn't find the goddamn safe key. It's like, I don't know. Regardless, the game
is... The safe key's in your heart.
It's a cool story, but the way it's told is just, after a while, you get sick of it.
You want to talk about something that doesn't have a story,
yeah,
but is a lot of fun?
Yeah.
Pokemon Sun and Moon.
You mean
no,
the Sun and Moon.
And
also from our good friends at Digirati Distribution.
I'm just kidding. Pokemon Sun and Moon had a great story. Anyway, yeah, Sun and Moon. Fantastic. It was one of those games where I was playing it before you guys all came over, and Tyler walks in. He goes, oh, is this the Sun and Moon? And then Sarah walks in. She's like, oh, this looks pretty cool. 15 minutes later, they're still standing there, like, watching, like, just completely in rapture. And then Josh comes over, and we start to go to, like, we had some technical hiccups when we tried to record. So Josh picks up the controller as we're preparing the mic test, mm-hmm. and he just starts playing it, and like 40 minutes later he's still playing it. It's just one of those games where it just sucks you in, and it's so simple, but it's so creative and like puzzling and visually stimulating.
So what is the game?
So essentially you play this little blip.
You play as a little sun guy.
Little sun.
He's just a little
circle. He has a face.
He does have a face. And so, you know, it starts out, it's one of those games that we've talked about before where it teaches you to play by making you play.
It builds
upon itself.
It doesn't
give you instructions.
Yeah.
So you know, you can jump and land on a platform as normal.
Yeah.
But if you jump and you hold X or right trigger, you, depending on the speed you hit the platform with, you go underneath the platform, and it's almost
kind of phase
like,
into it.
Yes, and it's almost like bobber physics underwater. So as you go into the platform, you're immediately, the gravitational pull brings you back up.
Here's a perfect analogy. Imagine you have a bouncy ball in your hand, and
yes,
you have a table. You drop the bouncy ball, it bounces on the table. All right, cool. In this situation, it would just kind of stop,
right?
But imagine the table is suddenly made of water the second you hold a button. You drop it, it's going to bob down and come back up depending on the speed at which you've gone into it. And that's kind of the entire movement idea.
Literally the entire point of the game.
And then you start adding obstacles, and the jumps are way more stressful than they should be. And you're using the acceleration of the water kind of stuff.
Yep, and then you have to take into account like the physics of the game, you know, in the context of the game itself. So, you know, you have a ledge that is next to a drop, and you jump off the drop and phase through.
A very pretty
ledge.
And
the longer you're underneath the ground, the faster you accelerate towards the surface.
Yeah.
So you have to create a loop and sort of like give yourself more and more speed to hit a certain jump and things like that. It really creative. It's just clever.
Like Kevin said, as you kind of fiddle with trying to figure out the physics and stuff like that. Wow, that's a mouthful. You're kind of learning new techniques and new movements and stuff like that. So like Kevin says, it's building upon itself as you play. You start off and it's going to seem pretty simple. And then within 5 to 10 levels, yeah, you need to up your game. And then it just continues. We saw a difficulty curve. I mean, there was a few parts that you got pretty stuck at.
Well, and not to mention the visuals throw a whole... like the back.
I mean,
you guys play way more of this. I just saw what you
guys. Yeah, we got to level 70.
Yeah.
How many does it say? How many worlds or levels or stages?
I don't know. But they're quick.
Probably
so
100. I
imagine
there's
tons. Yeah.
Probably.
I
mean,
at least over 100.
But as you travel to different places in the universe, because the map of the levels kind of spreads out. The backgrounds change and the colors are more vibrant and there's parallax in the background, so like it's moving and it's and it's moving in the background and it's really hard to keep track of your little blip at times.
Yeah,
so it's
kind of that like where the hell am I on the screen, especially when it's super precise. Like it's kind of hard to, but yeah, from what I saw, like I said I haven't really dug into it, but now that I'm done playing kind of what I had to play for all the different things I do, I'm thinking I might start it up.
It's a great example of what a little bit, like how a little bit can go a long way if it's executed well.
Well, to be honest, out of the two games that we got from Digirati, Uncanny and Sun and Moon, I was way more in for Uncanny. Then again, I'm a huge sucker for pixel art and horror games and point-and-click adventure games as well. And it just kind of funny that it turns out that I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but you wouldn't expect a lot out of Sun and Moon when you look at it. I think it was a pretty decently low-priced game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a blip and you're jumping around. But for that game to actually seem better now than the indie horror game, which is my bag, it's kind of funny. So you can't really judge a book by its cover, it seems. I mean, it looks like a cool little puzzle game. So if you're interested, check it out. You guys want to give it a little score? Think you give it a score? I mean, we've scored everything else so far.
I'd give it a solid 7.5 out of 10.
7.5?
Yeah.
Oh.
What the fuck was that?
Those are score.
Cal is the studio dog. She's been pretty quiet, so we didn't have to introduce her.
Come here.
She got a new little toy. Makes a little
that noise.
Come here.
Cal, what the fuck is this? It's just so funny.
Good girl. Come here.
I don't know. Okay. That was great. That was really good, guys. So 7.5.
7.5.
Tyler, will you give it a 7.5 as well? Or?
Yeah, maybe a little lower, but like...
7.
So, you know how Cluster Truck was?
Yeah.
You sit down and you're like, I gotta beat this level.
Yeah.
I just gotta beat this level.
Just one more time.
It's like that.
Yeah.
It's got that feel. And sometimes I love those games, sometimes I'm not that good. I'm not that pleased with those games.
Tyler, would you do me a solid?
Probably.
Would you tell me about Pixel Heroes? Because you
me
really
and
seemed...
me and Tyler played.
I played
Pixel.
It. I played it. But he really seemed to really enjoy it.
Well,
the
I was
humor,
late to work because
humor
of it.
Is top notch.
It is. So if you've ever played an RPG, any RPG, this game has a reference to it.
Yeah. It's very on the
holy
nose.
Holy crap!
Right out the gate, like I'm pretty sure the title screen
technically
is
it's
from
in the gate. Oh, you mean that. Okay, sorry.
I'm pretty sure the title screen is from Final Fantasy I when you hit the bridge.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that is a thing.
It's just reversed, and you're looking at a forest instead of the rest of the world.
Before we get into specifics, here's something that I want to know, because it's kind of a roguelike in which you have a party of people, you fight and stuff. My first quest was to go to a dungeon and retrieve a, oh, God, what was it? I remember, but I ran into Doctor Who. I ran into a metal band on the road.
Oh, yeah.
I died my first run through any of the dungeons.
Did you die in the dungeon?
No, I actually... Oh, my God.
You either.
You got to watch that. If you go back on, like I said, YouTube or Facebook or the Twitch page, you can see our playthrough that we did with Space Brain Gaming. I had two party members wiped, including my healer, and I was down to just my little sword and board dwarf. And I had, like, maybe 10 HP. And this boss, you have no information on the boss when you're fighting it. No right. health bar, nothing. I was like, all right, this is where it ends, guys. And just with one fucking swoop, bodied him. And I was like, holy shit. Because it was so done. It was the last thing. I'd gotten perfectly through everything, healing everybody, figuring out how to switch all the inventory and stuff. And I thought I was so fucking close to dying on my first thing. Because it's a hard game.
It's very
tough. I don't think so, but I've played a lot of RPGs. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's not a hard game. It's for your first quest, it's definitely not easy mode. It doesn't teach you anything, really. You kind of have to know D&D.
I do like...
magic missile and shit.
Tyler and I had the same experience when you're traveling to the dungeon. Basically...
it's like Oregon Trail.
The whole idea of the game, it's pixels, you know, it's very low res, like... Oregon Trail mixed with D&D.
Not as low res as Oregon Trail.
Inventory management a little bit. Like, yeah. Anyway, so when you leave the town, there's what's the word?
Overworld map?
Yeah, like an overworld map, like in front of you, and your characters are slowly walking across it. And random events.
A straight line.
Right, and random events can occur in between the town and the dungeon. Well, Tyler and I both had the same exact thing happen to us.
The bandits?
No, there's this like. This person standing there in a giant cloak and like this like bird mask or something, and it just says you encounter a stranger on the road. What do you do?
It stares at you,
and like the options are like just keep moving, fight him, stare back, and we both picked the same thing. We both picked stare back, and it was like this kid's like. Boy, I gotta stop wearing... Or my mom told me I shouldn't wear this black cloak out at night. Now I'm all creeped out or something like that.
This
so
weirdo guy
funny.
Is just, like, staring at me. I gotta go.
Yeah, mine was Doctor Who.
Super funny.
Mine was Doctor Who. Legit, he just shows up in a TARDIS and he's like, oh, it seems like this is a world that hasn't found a third dimension yet. And then he's like, get this medal and you fight again. Regardless, the whole entire cycle of the game is, Cal is, like, searching deeply for something.
She's looking for her Google...
Her Google...
Google noise thing.
So, yeah, you have your party. You pick your party in the tavern. You go out into the town, and then you grab some quests from people, and then you make your way out towards whatever dungeon or quest you're supposed to do. And like Tyler and Kevin said, you encounter random events along the way. As you play, you level up your characters. You find new gear. If you die, you keep your gear. It's a roguelike in that aspect. But very much so, if you don't know RPGs, it's going to be rough. Because when you first select the characters, you know, when you're first picking your party of three... you have, like, a mage, a battle mage, archer, a sword and board dwarf, you got a healer, you have another kind of healer. If you don't know, you just grab all attack characters, you're fucked. I love that my party.
I mean, you can play with just straight bashers.
Oh, of course you
can. And then you stock up on potions of healing at the temple, and then you move on.
So you play this more than I play just...
Oh, no,
you
no.
played a lot.
I just know RPGs.
So. Okay, so you've played enough of this. I had a very... what's the word? I don't know. It's a game where it's very not self-referential, but it's very referential, and I liked, because it felt like a gamer's game, okay?
I can't believe you guys haven't mentioned, like, the best joke in the whole game.
Well, maybe don't want to spoil it.
Are you talking about the adventure title?
No.
Because I think the adventure title is the best joke in the game.
No.
There's a lot of jokes in that game. My question to you, Tyler, is, since I'm assuming you've played more than just one quest now?
Yeah, I went through two full quests.
Does it keep... shit, because see, if I was making a game, I would put more than just two quests worth. I'm wondering how often those random attacks and stuff that you come across repeat. Because the best part of that game to me is not the dungeons you go through, but the little shit that pops up, because this is where all the jokes are.
Yeah.
Right, let me answer your question. I got the highway robbery men twice.
Yeah. Twice?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Once on my way there, once on my way back from the second dungeon.
I mean, this game was originally on, like, mobile, I think. So, I mean, it's not a game that I expect a ton from, but I really would have liked if they pushed a lot of a focus on writing and making silly little things.
That being said, I could see it working really well on mobile.
Because that's what Hand of Fate does.
Did you guys play Knights of Pen and Paper?
I dabbled in it, yeah.
That was a really fun game. Really similar to this, where mm-hmm. you're literally a bunch of players around a table and your DM, like, you level up your DM and your players around the table. It was mobile. Yeah. I think it was also PC.
It's a good game.
It's a lot of fun. I like it a lot. But, like, so four instances on my way to the dungeon, four instances on the way back. A total of 16, and I only had one repeat. Not bad.
Sounds like yeah. I forgot about the way back.
My favorite joke in the whole game. I'm just going to throw this out there real quick. You start out in this village, and you walk around trying to find a quest, you know, to do. You pick your team at the tavern, and then you find a quest.
Yeah.
Well, you walk to the edge of the village, and there's these two guys, and they're just raising exclamation points, yellow exclamation points above their heads. And they're like, hey, we're selling exclamation points. Do you have a quest to give away? You can advertise it with us.
It's like, my first time,
that was so fucking fun.
My first time in the town, I didn't realize you could move independently.
Yeah.
So I literally just went from the tavern.
Yeah, they really throw you right into it.
Pixel Heroes Bite and Magic, it's a game that's been out for a while on different consoles and different things. Xbox One's brand new. You want to give it a score? Or you want to wait on it?
I mean, I'd give it at least 7.
At least a 7.
But like,
I'm gonna go 8 because I I think it's fair if we start giving games review numbers.
If we were given them to review, I think it's only fair. I would give it.
I'd probably give it an 8.
Well, if you give it an 8, you give it an 8.
Good beat, and you could dance to it.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, that's an 8 with caveats. This is not an 8 to every single person plays this. Some people might think this game is a fucking 3.
I personally think it's a 6. I liked it. I think it was well executed. I think it was better than average. You know, it was fun. But there were a lot of things that were a little unnecessarily complicated.
Don't feel bad, man, about your not liking.
I enjoyed the game. It's the good technical execution that kind of...
Yeah, I'm with you on that. One of my biggest issues was right out the gate, I got a bunch... You get a ton of loot, right?
Right.
And I was like, how do I switch the fucking loot?
Yes.
And
that's a prime example.
You're highlighting the stuff you have equipped and the new thing, and then it keeps unhighlighting, and you're getting confused, and it's eventually you're just holding down the button. You go, oh, you have to hold it and move it. It makes sense on mobile because you would hold and then drag.
Exactly.
But if you didn't know it was on mobile originally, wouldn't think to hold it.
That's literally the only reason I think it works better on mobile. That being said, there were other things that I thought, you know, didn't really work that well. Like, I thought it would be really nice if there was a way to compare your current equipment to the equipment you're equipping, because otherwise it takes such a long time to wade through the inventory system, especially with how much loot you get.
When I was streaming, I oftentimes did not even bother trying to make my guys as hefty as possible,
because
the amount of time it would have taken for inventory management would have just been, you know, null. It's not exciting to see. So maybe that's why I almost died, because I was not...
Probably.
I was just kind of throwing on whatever thing looked good.
I didn't really go deep enough, but it would have been nice to see if there was some sort of counterplay between equipping staves and equipping swords and equipping...
Yeah.
Books and things like that. Like, obviously, there were skills that differed between those different weapons, but, like, and I'm not saying it has to be, like, a Fire Emblem, Rock, Paper, Scissors thing, but it just, you know, like, people who are in the back line, it would have been nice to see, oh, well, they can only use ranged weapons or something like that. You know what
I mean? There's a lot of things you have to figure out for yourself, but...
Yeah.
But I think we're about 45 minutes, 50 minutes.
Goodness.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Before we move on,
we
just mentioned Fire Emblem. Do we want to talk about that?
Fire Emblem, Fates,
yeah, we have to.
Heroes.
We have to talk about it.
Yeah, you want to do Wells real quick?
We can skip Trove.
Okay, let's just do this.
We can hold off on Trove. We can talk about it.
All right, because Trove is something you guys have been playing.
Yeah.
We'll do it when we're not as busy of a week.
Yeah.
So, Wells. Did you beat Wells? Did you play Wells?
I played Wells. I did. And
Tyler, I should be saying, so you know
who. I was going to play Wells, and then I played Astroneer.
Okay.
So.
Boy,
Do you think 10 words? Do you want? I think out of all of these, unless we're doing a beta one, we should go 10 words.
If you're cool with it, I think it's a good one for 10.
I could not do it in 10 words.
Oh, okay.
You want to give it to me?
Yeah, Matt, do it.
About
10
it.
Words.
All right, Wells in 10 words.
Let's do this.
Mediocre. Run and gun, lacks variety to encourage true replayability.
Interesting. So is another one where you have to replay it a lot? Or
No. The whole
when you beat it once, it's done.
Yeah, so it kind of works like a Mega Man where your first... There's about 10 stages of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Side-scrolling shooter. I mean, it's very simple. You shoot, you duck, you jump. There's enemies. Think Mega Man, but in a steampunk kind of thing. The first five levels, after you beat a level, you get a new gun, all right? The guns are usually specifically used for one sort of thing. Otherwise, you're just using the soccer ball thing that kills everybody in one hit.
Yep.
The spike ball. once you're done with that, once you're done with getting the five weapons, you have the latter half of the game. Here's the thing with Wells. Controls are a little bit stiff. I can forgive that. But the game does not... and it's hard to say because they do try to bring variety, at least with the different stages. But a lot of it feels very steampunk, and by the time they start to go different places with the levels, because in the beginning it's very much like you're in a steampunk city shooting guys. And it's very kind of uninspired.
And then, they messed with the wrong man.
Yeah, and let me just say there's barely a cutscene. There's like I think two lines of dialogue in the entire game.
Yep.
Very low budget. It's obvious that they didn't have a lot of storyboarding there. So you don't really have any motivation. You're kind of shooting guys that are so-so, same.
It's literally the same enemy.
Yeah, by the time they start to change up the environments, because you do go to some cool places. Sure. You didn't beat the game.
No.
But one of the last stages is, okay, and here's my other problem. They take so much from Bioshock. You look at the weapon wheel as you switch.
Yeah.
It's Bioshock. The heavy weapon or the heavy enemies that pop up later are guys in diving bells. The last level is a giant city in the sky. It's very, very... Okay, I understand they're pulling inspiration, but, like, at a certain point, Wells just becomes a mediocre side-scrolling shooter, which is fun enough, and then it quickly descends into, okay, we have some cool-looking stuff, but it's kind of very much like Bioshock, and then here comes the padding, where you're running through and fighting guys you shouldn't have to, mm-hmm. cheap deaths, kind of, like, wonky physics. Overall, it's not a terrible game. I think even a 6 or a 6.5, because at the end of the day, I played it through.
Sure.
I found it entertaining enough, and, you know, me and Tyler were huge fans of run-and-gun shooters, or side-scrolling shooters, Mega Man and the like. That was a noise. Maybe it was Tyler Rush. Secretly Rush.
Oh, it could be.
Or Dom or something like that. Who knows? Anyways, sorry. We're hearing rogue noises in the house. It's Wells. It's the Wells guy. I don't even remember his fucking name. That's the problem with Wells is that...
H.G. Wells?
No. I said this in my review, once again, for a 90sKid.com. If you look at a game like Mega Man, it's not a whole lot of story. Okay?
Correct.
Guy versus guy, ooh, robot monsters, cool. What makes the game good is the gameplay and the variety within.
And the boss rush and, you know, like...
Wells doesn't do that. It's cool for a bit. You're like, wow, this is fun, new weapons. But once the weapons run out, it's a lot of padding. And the payoff is like, haha, I beat you. With some really shoddy voice acting. Like, I feel like it was a programmer who did the voice acting. Like, no diss allowed. I'm not trying to be mean, but, like, literally shouldn't have put that guy in front of the mic. Not a voice actor. My brother was watching me, Dan, once again, shout out Dan Psychonaut, Dan. He was watching me play the latter half of the game. And he was playing, I think, Yu-Gi-Oh! Or maybe Fire Emblem on his phone. And just looking up, use that spike ball, Matt. Yeah. And then at the end, when the final cutscene came up, the guy finally talked, and Dan just busts out laughing. What the fuck was that? I'm like, I have no clue, dude. I have no clue. And then you beat the game, and at the end of the day, it's like a 3 or 4 hour experience. It's not too much money, I don't think. I think it's maybe 10, 12 bucks. I wouldn't pay that.
Nope, five.
I'd say $5. What this game feels like, it feels like an Xbox 360 arcade release back when they were 5 and 10 bucks.
Okay.
I'm sticking with my 6.5.
I'm gonna go with 5.
You go with 5.
Not applicable.
You did not play it.
This was not something I got to play.
If it's maybe on sale for like $2 or $3, I would say maybe bite if you like running guns. But don't expect too much.
Side scrolling running gun.
I mean, there's tons of them out there. Honestly, Mighty No. 9 is better than this. And that's saying something. For how disappointing that game was. But then again, maybe it's just how disappointing it was. Guys. We're close approaching that hour mark. So let me hear about this free to play Fire Emblem.
Okay,
tell me all about it.
I'm thrilled with it.
Yeah,
I've heard good things. I've heard bad things. I've heard things that don't even make sense.
It dethroned Unison League for us.
Yeah, I haven't played it.
So you guys are huge into mobile games.
We were playing Unison League for over a year at this point, and a lot of us were. We were all enjoying it to a degree.
Ooh. Real quick.
Yeah.
We've entered the mobile space.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I just want to say something real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I also do mobile game reviews. Yeah. Appgames.net. This is me plugging the shit up. I usually play some not so great games.
Yeah.
But holy shit, I played this game called, what is it called? Legend of Yamada. It's a Dandy Dungeon.
Oh, you were saying that. You were talking about that.
When we were trying to record last episode, we were having the tech difficulties. Guys, the game is fucking great.
Yeah?
I just want to say real quick, it's a game where you play as a Japanese indie game developer who works for, like, this big bad corporation. Right. And then he quits his job, and girl moves in next door, and that gives him the motivation to make the game. But instead of playing, like, you know, a little dungeon crawler, you're playing as he tests it. So when it starts off, it's first, like, it's just like, there's no enemies, you're just drawing a little line. By the time, maybe an hour or two in, you have multi-tiered dungeons and equipables and stuff. But the game teaches all of it to you, and it's very endearing. It's very much a story thing. So I just want to say right out the gate, because usually I'm not a big fan of mobile games. Y'all know this. But shit, that game is cute as hell. It's really good.
Picking it up, then.
Dandy Dungeon. Yeah, it's free. It's free to play, guys. It's really, really cute. But continue with the big one.
Fire Emblem, as we all know, it's a Nintendo release.
How does this compare to Super Mario Run? Is it one of those free to start?
No. It's free to play.
It's free to play.
I haven't spent a single dime on this.
This is Nintendo, though, so this is a big place where we can see how they're going to approach the play as they come up.
There's definitely an element of pay to win.
I mean, if you wanted to, you could. But
it's
like,
not imperative. There's no paywall. There's no hard paywall.
I've encountered some really difficult Fire Emblem-like scenarios that I have to go through.
Shit, last time I saw a paywall Nintendo, that was that fucking, what was that, Pokemon Shuffle?
Oh my god,
whatever.
Glalie?
Mega Galil. I fucking beat him, and then I still haven't played it since, pretty
anyway,
much.
Anyway, it's Fire Emblem minus permadeath.
Minus permadeath. Now, everyone's going to say, oh, sure, it's not Fire Emblem then.
Right.
Well, there is a story there, and it's a mobile game, so, like, it's supposed to be replayable. And they do a really good job of it, I think.
If I'm being honest, I have not been paying attention to the story whatsoever.
I paid attention to the story, and it made sense, and then, like, they're like, oh, no, now this guy's gone, or whatever.
I paid attention up until you started meeting characters from the most recent game, and then I was like, okay, this is literally, like, okay, so the story...
I played Fire Emblem for, like, GBA, dude.
Well, the story, there's characters from GBA. The whole point of the game is you are a legendary person. You're you.
Tactician.
You were summoned to the world of Fire Emblem.
Your Final Fantasy Tactics.
Using a legendary artifact.
Right.
It's a bow, actually.
Oh, sure.
Once you arrive in the world of Fire Emblem, you are the tactician now summoning characters from the Fire Emblem universe to fight by your side.
Okay, see, I didn't even like Fire Emblem when it was in Super Smash Bros., so I don't know. I like it now.
Literally, almost every character that had any sort of significance in any of the Fire Emblem games is at your disposal if you summon them.
Can you get a legendary skin Roy? Is that a thing that is a thing?
You can get a Roy.
You can get Roy.
But is there like a legend? I feel
yes,
like...
Yes, there is a legendary young lion Roy. Yes.
I feel like if they were going to, like, really try and gouge people, they would have a bunch of cool skins for, like, the main people, like Marth and Roy that were in Smash and stuff like that, and Robin.
The whole function of the premium currency are orbs. They're orbs. You earn them from playing through the story, through logging in bonuses.
Get it from the young wizard who lives next door.
Different things like that. Yeah. Young wizard. Basically, what you do is then
you don't know.
Spend,
Tyler's giving this his face. Like you don't know the young wizard in the next door who lives in Fire Emblem. You caress his orbs gently, and then he gives you some of the freemium currency. Nice, Jess.
I've never played a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's in all Nintendo games, even Super Mario 64. Super Mario 64. There's the wizard next door. You rub on his orbs, and he gives
Fire
you
Fire Emblem
coins.
Is great.
Mm. Yes,
orbs are great. Anyway. There's a gachapon system.
Sorry, I was trying to bring the comedy part.
It's okay.
We've been a lot
been
of games.
Real heavy.
This
real
is
heavy.
A very content.
This is what happens
episode.
When we don't do a show in a while.
Hey, guys, it's been February.
It's been a February. We've been doing what we do.
Continue.
So there's a gachapon element. Do you know what a gachapon element is, Matt?
Gachapon, yeah. Well, okay, I don't, but I know that name because it's something that... That is brought up constantly in one of our favorite podcasts, The Adventure Zone.
It is.
Fantasy Gachapon.
It is indeed.
So you spend your currency on it, you turn the dial, and you get a thing out of it.
Okay, yes. So it's just like a quarter machine.
Yep, with the little fun balls inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Little fun orbs.
Get a prize.
Little fun balls.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
No.
So is the actual gameplay still like Fire Emblem? You got your red, blue, green guys, and they're okay.
And there's ranged
archers,
melee.
Healers, ninjas.
Right.
You got the triangle of advantage. You got the casters, you got melee, and you got dragons.
Yes. Is it a good Fire Emblem game?
Yes,
that's it is. It really is. Because
at the end of the day, everyone loves Fire Emblem. Well, even if you don't like Fire Emblem, it's a good franchise. And when you go to mobile, the biggest thing you worry about is like how much are they gonna sacrifice what the original game is?
It translates very well.
Does it? Okay, good.
It's very Training Wheels in some ways.
Yeah, that's very true.
Compared to regular Fire Emblem, because regular Fire Emblem is a very intense
tactical, there's a lot of Fire Emblem
tactics game.
Yeah.
It is a very intense tactics game where it's no holds barred. If you lose a character, you don't get to keep that character.
They are dead.
Who's your favorite captain?
Currently?
Yeah, your favorite tactic captain from the tactic cabin from Fire Emblem.
Me.
You are?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're
no, yourself. But who's your favorite guy to control?
I have a character named Laszlo. I think he's from the most recent Fire Emblem.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 3. He's a swordman, and he just domps on people. Like, just domps on them.
Just some spicy domps
on them? Oh, just domping. Just domping.
I do have a favorite. I have a couple favorites. I mean, I really like George the Archer, but like, that's because he's my best character right now.
George?
Really, when I started leveling other people, I got the veteran Old Man Gunter, who's cavalry and axe, and he just crushed people.
Oh, yeah.
And his defense is so high, he just didn't take any damage.
So the way the Gachapon works, to give some context to what Tyler's saying, you can get the same character twice. They have a power rating,
can
essentially.
Can you rarity level characters?
You can actually combine characters.
Yeah.
So you have a star system. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sound very freemium.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 5 freemium. Focus. 5 focus is the strongest, obviously. It's a very chance-based system. Stop it. You can actually increase your character's star level by using hero feathers, which are notoriously impossible to get.
You can stop it. Get approximately 500 every week.
I don't feel like I want to play this game anymore.
And you need 20,000 to upgrade.
Holy fuck.
But it makes sense.
To go from 4 to 5.
It makes sense. It does.
It's not even focused.
I don't. This is now, it's just becoming words. It's buzzwords, free to play, fucking focus.
It doesn't feel like a freemium.
It does not feel
like a freemium.
A pay to win?
Yes.
Right. It doesn't feel like a pay to win because it's not. You still have to do, like, there is a lot of time you have to put into this brand new game before anyone can be amazing at it.
I feel, and there's a PvP element to it too, but the matchmaking, as far as I've encountered, is actually really good.
Really?
Because you can choose 3 different levels of severity. So you can choose a weaker opponent for a smaller jump in your ranking.
Oh, okay. And so you're never be getting wrecked on all
right.
the
time. So if you feel like you're really getting just completely shit on, you can choose a weaker opponent, still progress, just not at the same rate you were before. That also being said, I find it actually really hard to run out of, like, you know how in mobile games like this you have like stamina or you have
there's
like
something you have points to wait for bring back.
I'm having a hard time getting through, like, the stamina. It's just not that it regenerates so quickly, it's just that things cost so little, and
that's good.
The battles are usually long enough that it's like just a bit too long to do 2 during a bathroom break.
Well, so that's the most annoying thing is when you're like, you're seriously getting into a game and then it's like, haha, psych, you have to wait 6 hours until you have enough juice to keep going. And you're like, oh, maybe I will spend that $5.
Well, they also give you 10 stamina potions right out the gate.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Which refill like 2 maximum and then plus whatever you had.
Right. Oh, okay.
So it's not like you'll miss out on anything. It's really, it's well
done. How about we come back to this game
in the next week's
episode?
But
we'll make a bit out of it and only do it for 2 episodes and then forget about it.
Yeah.
This week in Fire Emblem.
Hey, guys, we had some good stories in This Week in Skyrim. Fuck you. If you didn't like This Week in Skyrim, it was great.
Just wait for This Week in Morrowind.
Oh, my God. ESO, dude. It's happening.
No.
Is it really?
Yeah, you guys didn't hear that? Morrowind is
it's going to be like expansion. June 17th or something.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Super Bowl spot? That was awesome.
No, I didn't. I barely watched Super Bowl.
It was a commercial. Check it out. It was great. It was really good.
Well, Tyler, you'll have to.
It looks like you'll be able to command animals.
I have to buy it for you?
Let's just put it that way. You're going to be able to command animals if the Super Bowl spot is.
Yeah, buy it for me. Okay, let me just talk about Neo real quick. Neo with an H.
He's the guy from The Matrix.
He's with the H. guy
with the little glasses.
From the H.
All right, so Keanu Reeves is a new game made by Ninja Gaiden people. You know them.
Ninja Gaiden for Ninja Gaiden.
Here's the biggest thing is that people are talking about Neo like, it's a Souls game. It's not.
What, it looks exactly like a Souls game.
Yeah, that's where you're wrong. Well, no, that's where you're right. It looks a lot like a Souls game, but it is deceptively complex.
If it looks like a duck,
how so?
Like a duck.
Also, okay. Did you use that Kurosagama?
I don't know what you just said. Kurosagama. Oh, the Kurosagama. Cal, well, see, I didn't play it myself. I sat in on a quite lengthy stream of it the day it came out. It's not my game, I can tell you immediately.
I heard you were spending hours on bosses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's hours. Because, and that's Why? Because, well, once again, that's because the game does not have a ton of tutorialization, and when it does, it kind of teaches the basics. Cal was going up against, like, the first boss without even knowing that each type of weapon has 45 unlockable skills that you get as you level up, but it's hidden in the skill menu, so like learning new moves or weapons, you have to go into the menus and dig until you can find like, oh, I can upgrade these, and there's different skill points you unlock that unlock different sorts of things. On top of that, there's insane amounts of loot. Tyler and me are holding hands now.
Oh. What is this for, Matthew?
What?
What is this game for?
PlayStation 4.
Only?
Didn't
only
you just say this doesn't sound like it's for real?
It's not. No, I said it doesn't sound like
so hot and cold. This guy.
So
I didn't say that. It sounds like a great game.
It's like Souls.
Why would he spend hours on a boss?
Okay, it's like
Souls. Why would you spend hours on a boss?
Like, that's what you sound like to me.
You all right?
I sound like that though.
The game plays similar to a Souls game in the fact that it's very difficult.
There's a stamina bar where you use your attack. Like, you use stamina to make an attack or roll or
and
run.
That is where that's where the changes start to pop up because stamina meter has an active reload feature, kind of similar to Gears of War. So as you fight, you'll see chunks of your stamina go, but then it sort of refills as a grade bar, and if you hit what's called Ki Pulse, yeah, you actually regain all that stamina, allowing you to continue combos. Also, unlike Souls games, there's three different stances. There's high stance, medium stance, low stance. High stance for attack, mediums
like,
for defense.
Like
low
old school Witcher?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Like a Nidhogg.
And then on top of that, you have different moves for each different weapon, all in with different stances. It's a combo-heavy system. On top of that, you're always finding loot, which there is a problem in that. Like, you get so much loot that it's kind of hard to sell. I wish there was some sort of thing that you could just kind of mark as junk, sell all, or whatever. Because just, you kill one enemy, you might get, like, two pieces of armor for it.
Whoa.
And eventually
was
you're
it Skyrim?
Yeah, there's a lot of loot. There's a insane amount of loot. Like, within the first 2 hours, Cal had already gotten, like, four or five different weapons of each type. There's a lot of things going on. It's very top-heavy. It feels like there's a lot of stuff coming at you at once. But it's one of those games, like Souls games, where if you dig into it enough and you learn the complexities and all the little nuances, I'm sure you'll find a lot of fun to be had here, but the main difference is that the combat is so different.
I want this
in
game.
Souls, it's just you have one stance, you have the dodge, attack, and you have maybe a combo or something. Like I'm saying, you have several different weapon types: axes, double swords, single swords, kusagar, whatever the hell that thing is.
Kurosagama.
Spears, all with about 50 different unlockable skills. Yeah, spears, all with about 50 unlockable different skills. All of which have three different attack stances that do different attacks and different animations. It's very in-depth combat-wise. It looks beautiful. It takes place in 1600s feudal Japan. It's a really good game, but what I don't want people to think is that it's Souls game and then go and buy it because they like Souls games, because it's more Ninja Gaiden. It's like if you took Ninja Gaiden Black and smashed it with Souls and then added a lot of like Diablo-style loot stuff. That's what it is. But it's a lot of time you have to dig in, and it's going to be frustrating. The biggest thing I saw with Souls games, you always know, like, if I die, it's my fault.
Yes.
Some of the hitboxes look a little shoddy, in my opinion. Like, Cal would hit them, but it would not hit them. So there might be that element of, like, maybe it's not 100%. Like, if you die, there might be a few rage deaths because it wasn't your fault. Which is the biggest proponent of Souls games, is that I know if I'm dying, it's my fault and not the game's fault.
But that sounds like a Ninja Gaiden thing, because when you die in Ninja Gaiden, it's bullshit and it's the game's fault.
Exactly. And that's why Souls brings a sort of, like, okay, solidity to the gameplay. You know what you're getting into. This is Ninja Gaiden more so than is Souls. It just looks like a Souls game.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I saw a little bit of it. I probably won't play a ton of it if I do play it. But it's a game, and now you guys know about it.
Neo.
Neo. You guys...
I really want to go through all of these betas, but like...
Well, we're coming down the hour mark here. Let's do this real quick.
I think we passed the hour
mark. Well, we're past the hour mark. We're not trying to make this too terribly long. We don't have an ad break. Let's do this real quick. Injustice 2 beta.
Did not get an opportunity to play.
Mm-hmm. I played it. There's about four characters. They added a few more. Superman is still super overpowered. All the characters essentially play the same, and they didn't fix a lot of the problems that were in the first one. Not to say that the game isn't better. It is. It's just like Superman had this eye move you could do where he shoots his laser eyes, and if you did it on the right frame, you could lock somebody unless they were really good. And yeah, like as soon as I picked up the controller, I was like, okay, Superman. The move is the same. Let's see if it still works. Yep, completely perfected somebody on my first round because if you do it at the right time, you either get to block and chip damage or you get hit.
I want another one of those top-down ISO games where you could play as the different heroes.
Marvel like Alliance.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance. That game was shit. So fucking good, dude.
I want one of those, like couch co-op ISO, you know.
Oh, like Diablo, but with superheroes.
Yes. Oh. That would be cool. But Injustice 2 is good. It's a fun time. We'll have to see more when the final game comes out, but the beta was cute. They have some cool characters in there, but all I got to play is like Supergirl, Superman, Batman, and Atrocitius or something. He's like he's a Sinistar, not Sinistar. He's a fucking Green Lantern villain.
Oh, Sinestro.
Yeah, Sinestro. Well, no, he's a villain of Sinestro.
Oh.
Yeah, it's deep lore shit. But you're going to have to see, like, Blue Beetle and stuff. I don't know. The game comes out in May, I believe. We'll talk about it more. I'm a huge fighting game fan. But yeah, what I saw was, it's the first one, but more touched up. They just didn't fix a lot of the balancing issues. But then again, Injustice was never a game I was going to play competitively. It was just a fun kind of thing to do.
Bye.
We both played a little bit of For Honor closed beta.
I think I played a lot of For Honor
closed beta. I actually played Five Honor?
Mm-hmm. You didn't play this at all.
No, I played Six Honor by Ubi Hard.
I played Three Honor. Came out before all these games.
Yeah, on the Commodore 64.
I watched 64. Tyler beat up some little men.
All right, with so quickly,
his big beef men.
Quickly, because this game comes out in 4 days, so I'm sure we'll talk about the full release. Just tell us what For Honor is.
You play as Beef Dead.
You play as
might as well
dead
get your
you
multiplayer
lose.
Talking now because I'm only playing the single player. I have no interest in the multiplayer.
You have no interest in the multiplayer?
Nope.
So what, you're just going to duel people to death?
Like the
no,
idea.
There's a single player campaign.
There's a campaign?
I like the idea of the multiplayer. I don't know if I'll like it as
I
much.
Played
like,
a little bit of it and I thought it was a little bit clunky. I'm sure Tyler will talk about it. Okay. I'm sure Tyler will talk about it. But here's what I did. I was talking to one of my clients and they were like, hey, with For Honor review. And I'm like, I'm really not interested in the multiplayer. Let me see if there's a campaign. I Google, does For Honor have a campaign? And the first thing that pops up is one of those Google text boxes that you know it's been searched a bunch.
Yeah.
And it's like, Ubisoft has repeatedly stated that there will be a campaign for For Honor and is a decent way to play the game even without multiplayer. Like, apparently they've been saying, oh, there's a campaign, there's a campaign, there's a campaign. Everyone's like, but is there a campaign? Like, seriously, I don't know.
But wait.
I don't care, though.
Well, see, the thing is it's been a long time since a game had both a hefty single player mm-hmm. and a multiplayer and mm-hmm. was not like a first person shooter. You saw that shit a lot in like 360 days where they'd get the shoe in kind of multiplayer. Yeah.
Allow me to throw a wrench in that statement. I may be the only person that ever said this, but I enjoyed the Assassin's Creed multiplayer.
No, I did too.
Assassin's Creed was really great. And it's amazing. Good that it's also Ubisoft. That bodes well, but it's Ubisoft Montreal, isn't it?
I don't think
and Montreal
be...
made some of the better Assassin's Creed games.
Did they?
They did.
I don't know. I mean, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood was the only one that had the multiplayer I liked.
Now,
Brotherhood did have good multiplayer. I think that might be the only one I played, but it was awesome. It was so much fun. It was really dynamic. It was really great.
What I played was not anything close to what Assassin's Creed multiplayer was. For Honor is much more about combat, whereas Assassin's Creed was more about tricking your opponents into thinking that you're not your computer. That's essentially what that was, which was fun in its own self. But For Honor. Okay, so For Honor. Tyler, go.
For Honor is a multiplayer game with no campaign. That
confirmed by Ubi, actually.
Multiplayer online capabilities, no campaign.
Did you... Kojima transferring? we won't talk about that.
There are three modes that you can play in this multiplayer game. In the multiplayer mode...
Yes.
That there's the... I don't know what they're called. Actually, there's...
King of the Hill, deathmatch.
There's, duel, 1v1. You can pick whatever of the 12 characters. I mean, there's going to be 12 playable characters, four for each faction.
The whole entire style is very, like, not medieval, but it's very much like you're playing as knights and samurai.
And Vikings. And I didn't mention that, so...
But that's the whole thing. It's kind of like that Deadliest Warrior show.
Kind of, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know. Sounds... You guys know what we're talking about. Hopefully you do. If not, it was a show in which they were like, would a Viking beat a knight in shining armor? And you're like, I don't fucking know. You tell me.
Well, if I'm playing them, yeah.
Exactly.
So you got your right stick controls your guarding, and that's left to the left, to the right, or overhead. And you can attack with that direction.
So, swordplay.
Swordplay, right. So you're attempting to block incoming attacks and parry and dodge and what have you. All the while,
very combat intensive,
breaking guard, and yeah, it's a really interesting fighting system. There's stamina involved, and you have only so much life.
It's not one of those games where you're going to run out and you're online. You're just going to kill one guy and then kill another guy and then kill another guy.
Well, you are if you're a knight and you're not fighting another human.
Okay. But they want it to be more like duels. Like, you're coming at this guy, and you're like, I'm blocking left, and you're a parry. Ha, so, ha.
Yes, yeah. In the duel mode, when you're playing 1v1, you are not going to just run someone down.
No.
It's rock, paper, scissors.
It is rock, paper, scissors.
I mean, rock, paper, scissors in a way.
You could still beat like, a big dude, like, as a medium dude.
You can always
dude.
Brute force rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. Yeah, rocks always win. I don't know what you guys are talking
about. No, you just punch the person in the face and you go, that's how you play rock, paper, scissors. That's kind of For Honor when you're playing as a knight.
Yeah, that's why I said rocks always win. Anyway, so that's the dual mode. Brawl is 2v2.
Mm-hmm.
And
same kind of idea?
Same kind of idea. So you can fight multiple people at once. It's a lot more difficult, but like at the same time, you'll be all right.
There's definitely a learning curve to getting good with fighting.
And the last mode
is not just like smack X and Y.
Right. There's the light attacks, heavy attacks, combos.
Yeah.
There's holding back on the right trigger.
It ain't your Devil May Cry fucking Bayonetta kind of attacking game.
Right.
It's very systematic.
There's a lot going on.
Yes.
And then the 4v4 mode that is Dominion, where there are soldiers fighting over the middle section, and there's two capturable areas. It's
territories.
Territories. Thank you. Very simple in the way that you just capture an area and
now,
first to 1,000, then you have to route your enemy.
Is because Mike, our friend Mike Cunningham, he's the one who gave us access to Injustice 2 beta. Once again, shout to Mike. He was saying that you can pick a faction and then you can actually overtake certain areas as you play.
So
how is that going to work, you think?
After every match, you get a certain number of dudes, depending if you won or lost, and you designate them to areas.
Okay.
You can either go into each individual area or not select, and it disperses them among all of your areas.
So yeah, I'm not going to care about any of that. I'm just going to be playing that single player.
It's really interesting, but like as I was playing, nobody picked Vikings, and Vikings were being blown off the map.
This is something that happens with faction battle. It kind of happened with, I mean, not even game.
Would you compare it to Planetside?
No.
Like I said, it's not even a similar game, but this is what happens with faction battles when you're all fighting for something. It happened in Mortal Kombat X.
I can play Planetside now.
There's like two factions that people choose, and then all the other factions get lost in the dust purely because of numbers. That's the thing. Planetside 2 is a game that's very large, and I can't wait for you to talk about it.
I don't mean to shit on your dreams or anything, but it's it was actually recently reported that the like the player base of that is just completely gutted.
Oh, it's
gutted.
Falling off.
It's just completely gutted.
Yeah, the heyday of Planetside is
that's normal. Fine. I don't care.
Okay, For Honor. For Honor.
I will win.
For Honor. So, did you like what you played? Obviously, you played.
Yes, I did. I really enjoyed what was going on. I like that. I like playing games with my friends.
Yeah,
and if I had an opportunity to play with one or more of you guys, I mean, we would just wreck the field.
We're
and
on your friends.
It'd be so fun. Yeah, that's not why I'm not talking to you over there.
If you didn't hear that, Jesse wanted to let us know that we're not his friends. So Jesse's quite a mean boy today. All right, we'll talk about it. I'm going to be playing the single player. I'm sure we'll play some of it together when it comes out. It launches on Valentine's Day, so I might not be playing that night. Might be
busy.
Fuck off.
Wait, doesn't something else come out on Valentine's Day?
A lot of things actually come out on Valentine's
Day. Ooh, the Pit People update!
No!
Well, that's the thing. We'll talk about that later. Well, I don't think we'll talk about it because we're running low. But
what are you talking about?
There's a lot of things that come out on Valentine's Day. There's For Honor. There's Halo Wars 2, I think.
Boobies!
Boobies do come out, depending on your sexual preference.
Goodness gracious. Kevin knows something. He's not going to tell us. He's just going to keep looking at you.
Because if I say it, you're going to be like, no, don't you remember? That's not true anymore.
Yeah, P5 got pushed back.
Yeah, okay. He was trying to dig that into you.
Oh, okay. Thanks. No. You really chopped my foot off of the shovel there.
You would have forgotten about it. But now,
is that a Resident Evil reference?
Yes.
Like, what an awkward thing to like. Funny. Wow, you really cut my head off with a gun.
Funny story about that. Actually, is you can completely skip that scene if
we accidentally.
I know.
Matt tried really hard to skip that scene.
It was kind of a really good reference because we were too slow on the uptake.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's why we lost our foot.
Well, I lost it the first time I played, but then when I went through on the stream, it was good. It was good. You saw that. He was there.
Anyhow.
Anyways, so let's table For Honor until it comes out for realsies. But
Ubi's got more stuff gun than
I saw. I saw this next beta, and let me just tell you, the gameplay I saw from a few of my friends was the lag was so bad that the game thought that one of the guys was controlling a vehicle. But instead of him controlling the vehicle, it was just him running behind it as the vehicle followed his path. And then there was also, they're all getting into a helicopter, and the game lagged. And even though the dude was in the helicopter, as it flew away, the rotors weren't moving. And the character model of the dude who was lagging falling out of the helicopter over and over and over, even though he was sitting in it. Of course, we're talking about Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands beta.
So I didn't play any of the online features.
Tom Clancy.
I just wanted to see what was going on with
this
game.
Well, that's fine. So tell me, is this more Far Cry? Is this still a Tom Clancy stealth game?
No, this is Division.
Is it the Division?
Yeah.
Division in the jungle.
Yeah. And
that's it.
Like, it's, you get... You get a squad of four dudes. You're one of the four dudes.
See, now it sounded like Ghost Recon.
And, I mean, it's... What?
So now it sounded like Ghost Recon.
Well, it's Ghost Recon. It's Ghost Recon Wildlands.
But the thing with Division was, correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't have to have AI with you if you wanted to go solo, right?
Right. You just went solo.
And this is because... Is it...
You control...
Can you shoot people and not have an alarm go off and you lose the mission?
Where are these Wildlands?
Question mark.
You can lose those missions. That isn't...
Fuck! I like Division where you just shoot them and the level's too high and then you're like, ah! I don't like when alarms go off and then I lose because I wasn't quiet enough.
Well, there's no, like, it's not like mission fail, start over, leave. Like, you can't, you just...
Snape?
If an alarm goes off, like, the dude runs and you go chase him. Or the you get swarmed by a bunch of dudes and you get killed.
Damn it, I thought you were going to say bees and I was like, that's awesome.
The bee movie, but the bees are thick.
Okay, wait. Can I tell you something about B movie that I heard?
No, let him do it because if there's any other time, it's not gonna happen.
All the bees, the female and female bees, have the same haircuts.
Really?
The women bees, their haircut style is called a beehive.
Yeah,
it's like popular in the
50s. Yeah.
And the guys, they all have short hair, which you wouldn't think a whole
buzz
lot of.
Cut.
And you realize it's a god. Why do you sell out all of my jokes? Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna break your neck.
B movie.
When was the last time I did that?
Yesterday.
Oh. B movie, but the bees are thick. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I don't get that joke.
Ghost Recon Wildlands Tom.
It's a mem.
Clancy's Tom Ghost Recon Wildland. How was it closed beta? How was the content? The
gameplay
itself.
I'll tell you what, it feels like GTA meets the Division and it just looks so pretty.
So it looks pretty. Is it fun to play?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
You're going to compare it mostly to like the Division. Does it feel, cuz see, I played Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, which was Grawl was something completely crazy.
I've never played a Ghost Recon game, so I cannot compare it to anything.
See, because the Tom Clancy games, me and Tom Clancy games, you know this if you've listened for a while, we do not have a good history. The only Tom Clancy game I really like was a double
Rainbow Six Siege 2.
No, fuck that game. It's so bad. It is so bad. No, Tom Clancy's Double Agent, or no, Conviction, but that's because it wasn't very stealthy. You could just shoot people in the head. You could press, I'm going to press Y. I'm going to mark these three guys and then kill them all with one shot, because fuck it.
Wait, that's how you can do that in this game?
Yeah, it's been a thing ever since they did it in Conviction.
But, like, it's because you have three guys with you that
yeah,
it's
so it's like,
plausible.
I'm assuming that I wonder if you can do that in co-op.
You could get downloadable content and play as Tom Clancy?
How old is he?
Wait, this is Xbox.
Now. He's dead.
Yeah, I know.
The ghost of Tom Clancy passed.
Ghost Recon.
Holy
like,
fuck!
You are the ghost of Tom Clancy, and you are reconning.
What if there's
for
a DLC mission? There's a DLC mission where you have to go find Tom's grave in the wild lands, and then truly he comes out and you open
the
chest.
He's like, what's up? I'm a ghost. I'm going to do recon for you.
And there's this horrible
and then
disease
all
coming
in circle,
on.
Like full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Tom. All right. All right. All I want to know is if it was fun. I'll give it a go.
I enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. I'm probably going to buy it.
As with all Tom Clancy games, I'll give it a go, and I'll probably end up fucking hating it. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Rainbow Six Siege 4. I fucking hated that
game. Tom Clancy's Division 6 Ghost Recon
Tony
Siege.
Hawk's Pro Shooter.
We're in the home stretch.
Tony Hawk's Pro Shooter.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, wait, that's bullets.
Tony Hawk's Big Buck Hunt.
B. What's the game with the B?
B movie game.
B.
The B movie game, that's a real game you can play on Xbox 360, is the one fucking game that I played the Cars game, I played when I was into achievements.
Batman, Lego Batman?
Lego Bondman. Dude, I played some Lego Harry Potter years 1-4 with my Jif. It was fucking my Jif peanut butter. I just gotta put it down.
The old
little fucking controller there.
The old Harry Potter games, like just the regular ones, not the Lego ones, the old Harry Potter games, those were fun.
Six. Was the best.
I never played
Order of the Phoenix.
I played like
Half Blood Prince. One of the ones you could explore the entirety of Hogwarts. And
whoa,
like,
those were fun. Those
I think
really
it was either
6 games.
Or 5. 7
totally,
was
totally, just way,
was
way
it like more
like,
wizard dueling.
Here's the road.
No, it was like a Harry Potter.
And here's where we are. Where you can't see that at home, but my hand is like a foot and a half from where the road in this metaphor was.
Yeah,
Harry Potter was great.
No, it was
let's
a good
keep
time.
Going. I mean, or not.
We got one more thing.
We got one more thing, and then I just want to wrap up.
And then
new,
I have a fun fact for y'all.
A new little section I want to pop into. But we all played this. We were talking about it earlier with Early Access. It is the Behemoth's new game, Pit People, which they did not send us. Thanks a whole lot, Behemoth. I had to pay for this.
It's really okay. They retweeted me.
Oh, yeah, no. I like Behemoth. I like Behemoth. I just wish I didn't have to spend $15 on your fucking Early Access.
I hate those words.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the biggest thing, is I love Behemoth. Castle Crash is one of my favorite games of all time. It was the first game that got me published in print. Alien Hominid. I got all the achievements. I love that. And then I see Pit People. I've been looking forward to it. And I see Early Access. And I go, fuck you, Behemoth. Why would you do that? Like, release a full product. Because I played Pit People. I'm sure we'll talk about it. The story mode kind of just runs out very quickly.
I mean,
it goes into the
3%.
Yeah.
There's 33 times more than what you just played.
In what? The update?
In the story. When it patches?
Oh.
When it's fully finished, there will be 33 times as many.
Yeah, versions. So how long do I have to wait until I get to play the game?
Well, we don't know that.
Exactly. I just fucking, Okay, it's cool. Pit People, what Pit People is it's kind of like Fire Emblem.
It is kind of like Fire Emblem.
It is.
It's a real-time strategy game.
With a butt ton more like Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yes. It's fun. You can play it co-op. I played it co-op. It's super fun co-op.
I don't like co-op.
Yeah, you both control your little party. It's a great time. You essentially leave a town, and you guys are pit people, and you're going across this world map. You're fighting dudes, and you're doing things. It's all kind of randomly generated at certain points, but yeah, there's like one story mission, and that's it. One or two, maybe.
One full-on story mission, yes.
I just
talking about Horatio and Pipistrello.
Well, and that's the thing, is that shit is so funny and it's so good that I would rather see where that goes rather than just doing the random generation stuff and leveling up my guys or whatever the hell that does. I like the game, but I don't like endless games. Just for the fact, it's like a treadmill. I don't know. I have a big issue with Early Access games that don't have completed stories. I understand if you want to fucking maybe try out some little extra modes or some online stuff to work out, but this game is essentially just a sandbox of, like, RTS stuff. It's fun. It's fun as fuck, but I want to play content.
I mean, there's one full chapter.
Yeah.
Three completed side missions.
Yeah, I did those.
And the arena. Did you beat the arena?
No, I went into the arena. Well, we tried doing a little bit of the arena.
Pit, yeah.
But we tried doing a little pit, but we decided to do the story stuff first. And then we found out very quickly that was, you know, co-op. Maybe it's easier in co-op. I don't know. But we ran through that very quickly. Regardless, I paid $15 for four missions.
Pit People's fun. It's funny.
It's a great game. Don't get me wrong.
Ooh, who's the narrator? What's his name?
I don't know. It's Stamper is the guy.
Stamper
is the guy who does the voice. He's the narrator in like all Battle Block. Not Castle Crashers, but Battle Block is the main one, and now this too. He's fucking hilarious.
Oh my god, he's so funny.
Stamper is my man, my dude. So yeah, no, Pit People, great, great game. I would say it's a fun game. I'd say don't buy it until it's finished, to be honest. That's how I sit on it, but then again, y'all didn't have to pay for the game.
If you want to play a little bit, then like get it. It's a lot of fun.
If you like the game, then buy it.
The thing is that what I think about when I think about Behemoth is that when I think Behemoth, just said, when it? I think Behemoth, I think it's very well done, compact games, and early access is the opposite of that, in my opinion. It's just the vibe I get. So it's, I mean, hey, it is what it is. It is what it isn't. It's a game that's fun to play, and hopefully they'll build upon it. This patch drops on the 14th, on Valentine's Day, correct?
Yep.
I don't really feel like looking through all this shit, but...
A lot of stuff.
Some stuff. Story content? Is there going to be story content?
No, sir.
Motherfucker!
Not that I read, okay?
There is.
There is?
Okay, just says there is, so
I'm okay with it.
I'm sure there will be either a full or a half chapter's worth.
I'm honestly just gonna let it sit until it's done.
All right. I mean, that's your call. I want to collect all the dudes.
Well, see, and there you go. Yeah, there's a little bit of something for everybody.
You guys got any funny names that are worth mentioning? Because they all have hilarious names.
I have Corzon 9.
Pixel Heroes, my healer, who, once again, he had two things, which was Medicate, where you smoke something out of a pipe. It's a weed joke. And then...
You don't say!
And then Peace.
What's a weed?
So he's a weed-dealing healer, and his name is Tupac. I did not change the name. It was Tupac. So that was cute. I really like that a lot.
My cleric's name was Adam. That's
shit's
it.
Boring as fuck.
I know.
Hey, but Tupac, my dude.
I had a little guy that was riding on a wolf.
Did you? Me too.
Yeah.
I played that game when it first dropped. I played it, and I played it for a solid night, and then I haven't looked back, to be honest.
Dwarf and bored. Anyway, let's just do this retro section.
Yeah, so, I mean, we play retro games quite a bit.
All the time.
Yeah, I do, especially with streaming. I just want to talk, because we play them. We like them. I played Conker's Bad Fur Day. Guys, have you played Conker?
Yep.
Yeah.
Was it one of your favorite rare games or not? Because the thing about Conker...
I didn't play it enough for it to be my favorite.
Conker is different from Banjo, in which you don't collect jiggies or stars or anything like Mario 64. It's very much missions. So you go and do things for people. And it was very different for me. We played about 4 hours of it last night. I've beaten it before. But I just wanted to see, because as I continue playing Conker, I'm going to finish it. Probably jump on a Banjo. I'm going to be doing some sort of rare celebration kind of thing. So you'll be hearing about rare every now and again. But I just slowly over time wanted to see you guys what you thought. So Conker, you didn't play it enough, Kevin. Tyler, did you ever beat it?
I watched some people play it. I mean, I've played the multiplayer.
Multiplayer, see, that's a big thing to bring up. A lot of people kind of like Goldeneye. Fuck the story. The multiplayer is crazy good.
Yeah, the multiplayer was pretty crazy good.
Yeah, we didn't play enough of the multiplayer because it was only just me and Brian. But
did you guys know, this is a bonus fun fact, just because you brought up Goldeneye.
Bonus fun fact.
Did you know the developers, the people who were actually like making the game?
Yeah.
The pit people of Goldeneye.
The programmers.
Created the multiplayer without the permission or direction of the producers because they thought they would never go for it.
No,
and then they just threw it in there last minute and ended up being the best part of Goldeneye.
Well, yeah, because they didn't want them to pull too much time away from like the story and shit. Plus, they were on a deadline too,
right,
to release with the movie.
Right.
Or but that's a cool thing. But yeah, well, and then that led the way to Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark's multiplayer.
Yep.
I mean, just imagine a world in which Goldeneye didn't.
Imagine
have
a world completely underwater without multiplayer.
Wow. Damn. See, I would like that.
I probably wouldn't play video games.
I'm a single player gamer.
I probably would never play.
All right, enough of the fucking Goldeneye music. All right, Colin Carr, I just want to get y'all's...
Conker's good.
Okay, but this is the one I think that you guys would have something to say on.
Oh, God, I love this game.
Chrono Trigger.
Why do you love this game, Kevin?
It's just so good.
I'm playing on the DS. Here's the thing. I never had a Super Nintendo as a kid. I had one. Someone stole it from me. I had one, and I never had a chance to play Chrono Trigger. And I finally got on DS through Gamefly, which is a shit service. Don't get it. God, unless we get sponsored by them one day. Totally get it. But fucking Gamefly sent me Chrono Trigger.
In my opinion, if I were tweeting this, I would put little hand clap emojis in between each world. I think Chrono Trigger is a better game than Final Fantasy.
Well, here's the thing. Is Final Fantasy what?
Would.
Because
Final Fantasy.
Agree.
You think that Chrono Trigger is a better...
Like the of the same era...
So like six.
Comparable, yeah, six.
Yeah, no, yeah, yes.
Oh,
yes.
So. Dude, Chrono Trigger's so good.
Here's the reason Chrono Trigger's awesome. There's no bullshit random encounters.
The music is
insane.
Amazing.
All right, for those who don't know, Chrono Trigger is a game by a little boy named Chrono who goes to a fair and then accidentally falls through time. He gets triggered real good. Thanks, Jesse, for that backup. He gets triggered by a girl named Luca, and she's like, come through my time! And then you go through time, and essentially the whole entire game becomes...
That's not her name.
Oh,
Luca?
Luca's your best friend.
Merle.
If we're doing a quick turnaround on this, I'm so sorry, but could you totally put some Chrono Trigger music in right here?
Yeah, so now that the music's running, Chrono Trigger is a great story.
Well, it's
about a fucking... Josh, shut up! You're ruining the music! It's over! Cut the music! Fucking turn it off! God damn it! I was gonna have like a nice BBC fucking Sir Michael... What the hell is his name? I'm gonna talk about
Chrono Trigger. David Attenborough.
David Davis. Sir Dumbledore Attenborough. And I was gonna fucking... Thanks, Josh. Nah, it's fine. I love Josh anyways. No, Chrono Trigger's a great game. SNES. Nintendo DS. You got to hear some of the music. It was cute. What music would you like in retrospect?
The festival music.
The festival. Okay. Yeah. No, I think my biggest thing I like about this game is the time travel mechanic. That's what does it.
Oh yeah.
It's I like time travel, and any game that does it well, especially like a game that's an RPG.
Portable of Ages.
Yeah, see, but I think Chrono Trigger is more...
Chrono Trigger is still way better.
It's more about the time travel than Oracle
Systems. I'm going to go back and play Chrono Trigger now.
I'm pretty far into it.
So
maybe
good.
Like 15 hours. I'm in the Mystic Mountains 25,000 or 25 million BC or something crazy like that. That's where I just landed.
That is correct. 25 million BC.
Some 25... Ah, fuck off. I don't know what it is. Is it?
No, that's correct. Yeah.
25 million. Jeez, that seems so long ago. Mm-hmm. I just got there, and then okay. I saved because I was...
But the Earth's only 5,000 years old.
So you didn't meet anybody?
What?
You didn't meet anybody then?
I started, and then there was this girl named, like, Anlia, and she's like, Chrono, she's like a cave woman.
Her name is Ayla.
Ayla, all right. I don't change any of the names because I don't...
Good.
Yeah, no, I want
that's important.
The true story. Oh, is it? Yeah, because the cool thing about Chrono Trigger is, like, little things you do actually change the outcomes of stuff.
Yep. How about Frog?
Frog? Yeah. His name is Frog. His name is fucking Frog, and that's it, dude.
How'd you do on your trial?
Oh, see, I lied, and I said that she bumped into me, but then I bumped into her.
Right. So they have a first-hand account.
Bumping uglies?
Second-hand account.
Yeah, it was fine. Regardless.
Such a good game.
Did you eat the lunch?
Yeah, I ate that dude's lunch.
Dude.
I ate his lunch real good, and I fucking had it, and I ate it too. With this hour and 35 minutes that we're coming up on.
It was a dense one.
It was dense. It felt longer, but that's
really
so much
content.
I
appreciate you sticking with us for this
one. Yeah. Thanks, guys. We had
so many goofs. There were goof islands, but that's about it.
That was me drinking a little bit of my Gatorade. We had to get caught up.
Yeah.
So coming out soon. Okay, so we have For Honor.
Yep.
didn't hear that one. Funny joke. The For Honor, fucking Ghost Recon Wildlands, Injustice 2. There's quite a few things that are going to be coming up on the plate to play. Halo Wars 2, which I'm gonna take a little gander at.
I'll talk about Astroneer next episode.
Astroneer, we can talk
about
next episode.
A little bit more of that under my belt.
We should probably talk about Trove.
We can talk about Trove next episode. If you guys want to talk to us, you can email us at sgc64mail@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/sgc64, and then 64 is spelled out, not the numbers. Twitter's, the actual show's Twitter is @supergamecast64, but you can find me at sgc64matt.
I'm at gingerbeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at ttramalio.
You can also, like I said, we do streams with Space Brain Gaming. You can find them on Facebook. Just type in Space Brain Gaming. The Twitter for that is @SpaceBGaming and twitch.tv/SpaceBrainGaming. So many links. So many plugs. Once again, if you want to check out my reviews and articles, follow my Twitter, but I post mainly on a90skid.com. I just did a little top 5 best co-op games to play with your lover.
That was a great article.
Did you like that?
I did like
Thanks,
that
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. That was one from the heart. So, Kevin.
Yes.
It's your duty at the end of each show.
Duty.
To give us a fucking good old game fact.
Oh, this might be the best one yet. Tyler, I need you to focus.
Yes, sir.
Focus on this fact. We only got
this
a few
might
seconds
be
left.
The best game fact I've brought so far.
You know it'd be funny if you just ended the episode right there.
You just fucking cut it and then just like
no.
It falls
it would
into
be
Chrono
really
Trigger
funny
music.
If I just said, according to the booklet that came with Super Mario Brothers, and then cut right there.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Please pay for the premium Super Gamecast to hear the end of this video game fact.
Fucking
no,
Screen Junkies Plus.
I'm paying attention
to all right. The game. Anyway, according to the booklet from Super Mario Brothers, when the Koopas first invaded the Mushroom Kingdom, they turned all of the residents into blocks.
Oh, what?
What?
Really?
Yeah.
No fucking
Mario
way!
Mario is a straight up mass murderer, dude.
He murdered.
Mario is just a murder game. It's all about the murder.
Oh my god. I didn't
Hell
know
yeah.
that.
Okay. With that being said, thanks for the game fact. Thanks for listening to episode 80. As always,
we need a new tagline.
I mean, stick it to your mom for now. We'll figure it out. You know what? Don't stick it to your mom. With Valentine's Day coming up, stick it to the one you want to stick it to. Well, consent's always important, though, so make sure that make sure they say yes. Till next time, we'll see you on episode 81. I want to thank our studio audience. We had Josh. Josh, say bye-bye. Hi. And then Jesse.
Bye.
All right, thanks for our studio audience, and thanks to everybody. We will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.